All please rise.
Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here. Councilperson Birch is at a cupcake?
It's the International Cake Festival.
It's the International Cake Festival, which I've never attended, but it sounds like a great thing to go to. So she's asking for an excuse.
So moved.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Goodrich, seconded by Councilperson Olson. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, this next up is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can address the council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, we'd ask for your name, your address, and 3-minute limit. Would anyone like to address the council on anything that's not on the agenda? Anyone? Anyone? Is that a hand up? Okay, welcome, sir.
I'm Papa John Still at 6072 Malloy Avenue Still. I have a question in general before I start with my general questions. Does anybody happen to know what the zip code is for the Gettysburg Address? I'm just wondering. I did ask the post, I know, but that's just a start. Okay. But that just came to my mind when you were talking about an address. Great minds, you know, think alike. What does that say about your mind? Okay, we have 3 puns to start with and then some other general comments after that. Now, why does it take longer to run from second base to third than it does from first to second? The same distance is 90 feet, right? But it takes longer to run from second to third than it does from first to second. The reason why is obvious, because there's a short stop on the way. Okay, where's the... Okay, there we go. Thank you. All right. Now, here's a math problem for you. Somebody already knows the answer, so no fair cheating back here in the crowd because you know it. And somebody else had a preview, so no fair yelling out the answer. If 2 is a company, or company, I should say, and 3 is a crowd, what's 4 and 5?
9.
Louder?
9.
Very good. That's the correct answer. You're the only one in the whole room that knew that, too. What does that say? Huh? Okay, now,
she's the only one that's listening to you?
Pretend you're an artist. What color should the sun and the wind be colored?
I know the color of earth, wind, and fire.
Now,
call the wind Mariah. So.
Yeah, I knew that. We all did. For what? We don't know why.
Musician.
But here's the deal. The sun rose and the wind blew. That's kind of obvious, isn't it? Okay, so much for that. Now, this is food for thought. Never underestimate a gesture of affection. Never underestimate a gesture of affection. Greed is often regretted. Generosity seldom. Greed is often regretted. Generosity seldom. Here's one that might be appropriate here. Conflict is inevitable. Combat is not. Conflict is inevitable. Combat is not. Here is, the right heart with the wrong creed is better than the right creed with the wrong heart. And one more, and I hope you're taking notes. I don't see anybody, but one person may be taking notes. It's wise to look in the mirror before you peek out the window. It's wise to look in the mirror before you peek out of the window. Are you over there snoring or anybody awake or anything?
No, I'm really concentrating on the agenda here.
Oh, okay. Okay. So anyhow, there will be a test on this.
Thank you. Would anyone like to follow that up? Seeing none, we'll move on to the... Now, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. I have 2 changes to the consent agenda. First of all, there's a typo under your consent agenda. It says contract, water supply, and storage analysis. That's not correct. In your packet, it's correct. It is what you're approving as the water comp plan. So it was just... miswritten on the consent agenda on your cover sheet for your council meeting. The other one, I'd like to pull the approval of the pro-con committee people and we'll discuss that right after you approve the consent agenda on a separate voting action. So, before you is the consent agenda.
Move to approve as amended.
Second.
Okay, moved and approved by Councilperson Ingram and seconded by Councilperson Olson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, on yours you have the pro-con committee, and I'll turn that issue over to our city clerk.
So, those of you that were at the Public Safety and Neighborhood Services meeting, committee meeting on Wednesday, remember that we had two applicants for the CON committee for the Metropolitan Parks District and one for the PRO committee. However, one of the applicants for the CON committee lives outside of the city limits and so is ineligible. So you voted to approve the two who were the one for the PRO and one for the CON. However, immediately after the meeting, I learned that the person who had applied for the PRO committee also lives outside of the city limits. So that was Sarah Hare. So she is also ineligible. But later that same day, we got another application for the PRO committee, who is Rebecca Czar, who is a member of the planning committee and also in city limits. So we would like to just swap those names so we could get the approval to get this submitted tomorrow.
Councilperson Mutchler? Okay. So John has moved to just, we'll vote separately on Rebecca Czar, and then seconded by Councilperson Ingram. Any further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich?
Who is not? We have two names listed here in the packet. Who is?
Sarah Hare is the one that is ineligible.
Oh, okay.
Because of where she lives.
Yeah. She did.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How do they apply when they're not eligible?
You know, I think there was some confusion over the boundaries, because if it had been the school district boundaries, they would have been eligible.
But it wasn't, so how did they advertise it?
It was, the advertisement said within the Metropolitan Park District boundaries, or what
so
we were...
So we should have worded it within the
we
city.
We should have worded it more, clearly, okay. that was the boundary.
Okay, so you're familiar and comfortable with the issue before you.
Part of the confusion also is that the park board itself is made up of 50% in the city, 50% out of the city.
Correct.
There's a lot of parks board members that are not in the city limits. So that helps to create the confusion.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, great. Now we're moving on to a subject we'd all like to talk about, a discussion about the Whatcom County Jail Interlocal Agreement. So we have a multitude of guests who have come to the room. Is one of you as a chosen speaker? Okay, you drew the short straw. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I'm County Executive Jack Lowes, Mayor, Council members, and staff. It's good to be here to present the Whatcom County Jail Facility Use Agreement as amended, which would allow for cities within Whatcom County to partner with the county in building a new correctional facility on Labonte Road in Ferndale. As of this time, all of the cities other than Ferndale and Bellingham, and I understand Blaine is going to be taking this up tomorrow night, but the other cities have acted upon this. And I would encourage your participation in this as has been worked on by the city mayors and by the Whatcom Exec's office over the last months, and I'm here tonight to answer any questions that you may have. Also with me, we have Sheriff Bill Elfo, who can answer questions concerning the operations, and then out of the Exec's office, Dewey Dessler, who has been instrumental in working on the financial aspects of it as it relates to the bonding of the new facility. So with that, I do.
So open questions. So I would believe Councilperson Olson first, with Councilman Goodrich right after that. Councilperson Olson, your floor.
Why are we looking at an agreement that has Bellingham listed in it? We already have an agreement with Bellingham listed in it. Why aren't we looking at one without Bellingham? That's the first question. I'll let you answer them as I go. You won't forget.
Well, as representing everybody within Whatcom County, and because I feel strongly that that we have a need to work together on this facility, even though we are resubmitting this to all of the cities, the agreement has all of the cities listed, but a little bit farther in the document, it basically states that if the cities do not sign on by August 14th, then they aren't going to be our participant into the new jail in terms of the capital contribution or their right to use and access the jail as the other cities are. So if you read the agreement carefully, we're giving them another opportunity to take a look at it. I anticipate that at their meeting next Monday, they'll either vote to join in, vote not to join in, or they won't take any action, but it's the last meeting that they have before August 14th, the deadline that we put within the agreement. Right now, Whatcom County is legally bound to Linden, CMS, Everson, and Nooksack. And as I'm anticipating, hopefully Ferndale would join in tonight and Blaine tomorrow night. It ends up being a legally binding agreement. With the passage of the sales tax measure on November 3rd, then we're moving down the road building a jail that's right sized for the communities that are willing to participate.
The other question, and I have three, Brent, so bear with me. We've asked Mr. Young, who has in turn asked your office, what is the charge is going to be? We'll use these figures for argument's sake. If we're paying 100, how much are the non-participants paying? 150, 200, 250? Surely we should have some sort of, I don't have to be exact, but surely we should have some idea of what the penalty is going to be for not being involved in this.
The initial work that we did with the mayors of the small cities was that we would divide the non-participants used by the amount of bond that we're paying. So the bond per year is about $6.4 million a year. We anticipate that if we build the jail at the onset, we would have about 15% bed space available, which would equate to approximately a $50 a day surcharge for non-participants. But you must realize that if we were to open a jail today at 383 beds using an 85% occupancy rate, it's going to be full on day one if we were to take Bellingham and the tribal people in, because as of this morning we had 360 people incarcerated. That's including the tribal inmates in the city of Bellingham. So from my perspective is we're going to charge them more, but the reality is we aren't going to have room for them.
But it is still possible they would merely pay another $50 and then not have put a dime into this procedure.
Right. For a facility that's going to be over capacity for their inmates on day one that needs to last for the next 30 years when we're anticipating another 70,000 people in the county. So at some point, yes, they may have some bed space in the first year, two or three of the facility, but to project this out for the next 30 years, it's highly unlikely that that they're going to have the space. As it relates to the charges that will happen starting even next January of what the sheriff would be proposing, I'd be more than happy to have him come up and talk about how he intends to work.
Work
capacity issues.
I think it, yeah, because as we discussed, additional to the add-on, the extra, the bed charge, there are additional charges on all the other booking charges. And are interested in that, councilperson, also?
Well, that kind of what my question was.
Okay.
Would you like to expand on what
sure.
charges?
I think that's what you were looking for. So let's get those answers. Sure.
Councilor, I mean, it'd be very difficult to. It's going to be beneficial for all of us that are participants in the early years if there's space to rent additional bed spaces out if it's available, because what that does is it just keeps all of our charges down. But the agreement does very clearly articulate that once the jail reaches capacity, we have first options and first rights to it, and the sheriff must take care of us first, cooperatively together, and those non-parties are going to have to find other space.
Well, that kind of answers the third portion, which is, say, for example, the jail has two beds available. A non-participant gets into it, and all of a sudden Ferndale has a crime spree, and we need to go book two people. Does that mean the non-participants, inmates, get booted so ours can go in?
I'm going to absolutely, you're starting to get into the details,
okay.
And the sheriff is here, so we will use him tonight.
Thank you.
Mayor, council members, thanks for having me. As a preface, we cannot continue to operate the current jail during the construction period, even with the population that we have in there. We've pushed the limit too far. The previous sheriff spoke about this. I've spoken about it for the last 13 years, and very little has been done, to be honest with you. I'm concerned about meeting our legal mandates, our moral mandates, and people treating people with just human dignity, including our employees that work in that facility. So my proposal to the executive, as we formulate an agreement for the upcoming years, is to reduce the jail population. How we would do that would be to prioritize what we need to do for the county, what we're legally required to do for these next 4 years. And I know I'm not direct, but I'm going to get to your direct question.
Sure.
And that's to take who we're responsible for. All misdemeanor arrests by the sheriff's office and state patrol and the university police or any other state law enforcement, and all felonies, including those in the city of Bellingham. They will be the first priority, along with those cities that entered into the agreement that have joined us, and we'll prioritize those. The others will be space available. Now, Bellingham has indicated, their staff has indicated, there's no problem in sending people out of county. They're able to do that. I hope they've fully explored what the prospects of that are, particularly in terms of pretrial inmates, bringing them back for first appearance, and bringing them back for not first appearance, but subsequent appearances and subsequent hearings where they have to be present, sentencing. Most of these jails in Eastern Washington do not take people that have substantial or severe mental health issues. They don't take people that have severe physical health issues. So it's going to be a real challenge. But the bottom line is, my plan is to, if Bellingham doesn't move forward, they want to go out in this business on their own, would be to require, I don't want to leave them in a lurch for 4 years, but they book them, they get the first appearance, and if they're not released after first appearance, they pick them up within 2 hours, and then they arrange to get them to whatever jail they contract with outside the area. We cannot take people in there just solely with mental health issues that other jails won't take. So what I recommend we do is we have some interim booking charges for the non-using entities that reflect the actual cost of that process. Escorting people to court, we've taken that on. We've not charged the cities for that. We put an additional fee for that and really try to recapture all the costs. When the new jail opens, hopefully proposition number one will be passed and it'll be constructed in 2019. I envision very little space for Bellingham. Taking this down 100 beds, operating it to 80-85% capacity, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of space for the other entities. But when there is, we have to, out of fairness to the county and fair to our other partners who have entered into the agreement, we have to capture the actual cost of the booking. We have to capture the first appearance fee, whether it's electronic or in person. So I think for the city of Bellingham, it's going to be an expensive proposition not to move ahead. I think it's a bad decision on their part, but they're certainly free to make that decision.
Did you get your question answered? Or?
Well, a portion of it. Are
you looking for the specific booking fees that he goes down like as a menu? Or?
No, I'm just looking for a grand total. I don't have to have all the little things. I just want to know if we're paying $100, Bellingham paying $250,
Bill, do you have a guesstimate in terms of those extra booking fees and then you add it on to the upcharge?
Right, and I'm relying on what the executive's office, Mr. Dessler, worked out. He's looked at other cities that are in or other jurisdictions, Snohomish County. They charge a $115 booking fee. A daily maintenance fee for those that have health or substance abuse issues of $84 a day, and a video court fee of $115. Yeah.
This is Dewey Dessler.
Counselor Dewey Dessler from County Executive's Office. Just to put it in perspective, the booking fee that you talked about, we charge $50 in Washington County. It's $115 down in Snohomish. Snohomish County built a new jail about 7 or 8 years ago. They don't have enough room. Their offenders basically have to leave the jail. Their city offenders have to leave the jail and have to go to Eastern Washington. They charge $115 for a booking fee. It is $84 for that daily rate. But if they have any kind of mental health or substance abuse issues, that's an extra $201 a day. If they have a video fee, it's another $115 a day or every time there's some kind of action in the court. And I actually would expect that, and you would see Edmonds and Linwood and Everett and those cities are all looking at hundreds of dollars a day for the actual cost of keeping an offender in jail for a short period of time before they get transferred, if there is space available. And that's the key thing that I heard Bill say, if there's space available. If there's no space available, then the facilities are going to have to be built and developed someplace and staffed by the city of Bellingham. So that's really the conundrum that we're trying to impress on people, that if there's no space available in the Washington County Jail, they're going to have to do what they used to do years ago in Bellingham up until 1983. They had to maintain their own jail, which is a very expensive operation.
Councilor Olson, are you getting I got 514 possibly extra on top of the extra booking fee. I mean, if you total what he said, I was at 514 if they have mental health problems.
And my question related to that is, we won't pay that.
No.
Only those who do not participate.
Those that are participants to the agreement, we, unless there's unusual costs as identified in the agreement, but the normal cost that we have for somebody going through detox or having a mental health evaluation, it's all lumped together and then divided up by usage between the cities and the county. So those participants involved in the jail or involved in the agreement don't get the airline upcharges, like, you know, every bag that you want to check, you're going to get an additional fee along with it, and then you're going to get surcharges and taxes. But that's the method that we're going to be using for the non-participants as we have availability for it, because those monies that we get go against all of our rates as per usage and divided back into it. Our initial projections were for non-parties to the agreement, if we were building a 521-bed jail, is that we would receive between, I think it's $700,000 to $800,000 a year in additional charges from those cities, or from the tribal interest primarily, that we would then divide back into our usage, which would lower our bed rates down. So it's beneficial for us, if there's bed space available, is to trap the dollars, but trap a realistic amount of dollars that we can charge a realistic fee. But it's going to be on a, you know, it's going to be booking fees, daily rates, mental health charge, x-rays, valuations, all of those things are going to come with costs.
The only part, I don't know if you heard, Bill, about the, what if we did have Belling in there for two beds and all of a sudden you're at capacity and Chief needs two more beds? Do they get 86?
Absolutely. We would give them notice that we have to lower it. Going forward to entering into any kind of agreement with them, an interlocal agreement, we have to put that, this agreement we're operating under now expires on December 31st. Assuming they're not moving forward, we have to put that in there, that there's in the agreement that they're going to have to get their people out of the jail if one of the regular users requires space within a reasonable amount of time.
It's kind of a long, this is the first time I've heard it tonight. Almost done.
Okay.
It's kind of alarming to hear that what we're already building is already going to be full. I have faced this, well, not with you, but since 1994 when I first came here. And we're already building something that's going to be maxed. It's kind of disheartening.
We're going to be building something that would be maxed if we were building a 383-bed jail and allowing Bellingham per equal rights to use, yes, we would be.
Oh, okay.
We would be over capacity. But at 383 beds right now, Bellingham is 60 to 70 beds, and the tribal interests are about 50 beds. That's kind of the.
So we do have a big space cushion.
Well, we don't have as big a space without Bellingham. But it is workable at 383 to 401 beds, and it basically depends on the cell configuration and what size we end up. But we'll be fine without Bellingham. But as I say, if Bellingham doesn't agree to the capital fee to be able to make this happen, we aren't going to build jail beds for them, and they aren't going to have any entitlement to use them at that point.
Thank you.
Okay, lots of questions. Good job. We have them here. We have time. The agenda is okay. Great discussion. So we're going to go Councilperson Goodrich, Councilperson Ingram, and then Councilperson Mutchler, and then we'll open up the rest of
it. I have two questions, and thank you all the county folks for coming out here tonight. I appreciate it. First thing is, came up in this discussion, 6 years down the road, Bellingham realizes, ooh, we really screwed up. We should have become a part of this. I know in the original plan of the jail, there was kind of like we're going to build part of it, but then we could add another wing on. If down the road Bellingham decided, hey, we would really like to come play now, could you build another section of it on there, and they could be a party to that, and then kind of have like a latecomers agreement into it, or they kind of, if they don't buy it now, they don't get another chance.
That would be possible, but you do realize that Whatcom County is bound to the jail facility use agreement with supposedly the city of Ferndale and with the other cities. So we would need to come and talk with you and get permission from the other cities to alter the program. So I think that gives you the ability to raise the flag and say, hey, you know, we need to have adequate compensation to make this happen. If we build a smaller jail, we're going to have the ability to put more housing units on. But one of the unfortunate things, if Bellingham is not going to be a participant, is the booking area, the health triage center, the kitchen, the mechanical, and all of that is going to have to be right-sized at the beginning. So the cost of entry into the next phase of the facility is going to be expensive. And I would imagine that the cities, Ferndale, Linden, and such, along with Whatcom County, if Bellingham says 3 years or 5 years down the road, oops, we need to be there, are going to say, well, yeah, but, you know, we need the housing wing, which is going to be the least costly of the bunch, but then we're going to have to say, there's costs that are going to go into all of this other stuff, and hey, we've also paid 6 years of this thing off, so there's how much back charges you're going to do. So, but we need to talk to you to modify the agreement. And we can't, Whatcom County is not going to be able to unilaterally drop Bellingham into the agreement without coming to you for alterations to it. So I think that's the protection that you have, Councillor, in that related to that.
The other thing goes to the ballot measure. Bellingham decides they're not going to participate, therefore probably not support. I don't know if they would support the ballot initiative. Can we pass the ballot initiative and for this tax without the city of Bellingham's, seeing there's such a large voting block in the county? And if they say no, and then all, get all the no votes, how does that play in when everybody else says, yeah, we want it?
Well, obviously, we need a vote of 50% plus one vote countywide to be able to implement the 0.2% sales tax. So Bellingham's in a little bit of a unique position because, as the sheriff mentioned, our current facility is over capacity, and if we don't start building a new facility or have to live with our new facility is we're going to shut the doors. To the point is that they're not going to have room for their prisoners in the very near future. So as I probably crassly and bluntly have stated, if Bellingham joins with us and the bond measure passes, we're going to have jail space for them. If Bellingham wants the bond measure passed but doesn't agree to it, they're going to have to take their money and use that money to pay for alternative jail bed space somewhere else. And I think that from my analysis of it, that's going to be very expensive. Or if the bond measure doesn't pass, they're going to be in the jail business without any new revenue to do it. So, yeah, it makes it more difficult. I've worked for 4 years right now trying to move this project forward because I think it's best for all of Whatcom County to work together to make this happen. Whatcom County has a responsibility for all of the felons and the misdemeanors that are generated in unincorporated Whatcom County. We don't have a legal responsibility to take care of Ferndale's misdemeanors or Bellingham's or so on and so forth. But I think it's the right thing for us to do. I've done the best work that I know how to do. I'm not perfect, but done the best work that I know how to do to get this thing on the ballot. It is there. I'm sensing there's a fair amount of support throughout the community, even in Bellingham, for a new correctional facility, and we're going to have to let the voters decide that in November. But we're in a difficult situation, and time is of the essence right now, and that's why I'm asking for you guys' support of this and continuing to ask for Bellingham's also, because I really do want them to be a part of the program that we work together on over the next 30 years.
All right. You want to add anything?
Yeah, just to add to that, Councilmember Goodrich, Bellingham citizens do get a very direct benefit of the jail, whether they participate or not in the agreement, and that the county is responsible for housing everyone charged with a felony, which is the majority of the jail. So if they're going to maintain safe communities and maintain the tranquility of their neighborhood, they have to have a place to put felons. Otherwise, we're going to have a federal judge restricting us who we're going to put in the jail for even felonies. So it's going to be taking care of a major need for the citizens of Bellingham. So we do hope that the majority of them will support the ballot initiative.
Councilperson Ingram, Mutchler, and then back to Olson.
Well, it's my understanding that the City Council in Bellingham has already voted to not join this on one occasion. And now they're going to try and revisit it next week or a couple of days. I feel kind of like I'm chasing my tail here. If the City Council in Bellingham now says, well, we've reconsidered and yeah, we're going to join it, are we going to have to go through this whole thing again? Because right now, we're changing the interlocal. We're changing the size of the jail. So, if we join on this tonight, we're joining on to a smaller jail for less money. And if Bellingham subsequently, to our vote, comes back and says, we changed our mind, we're going to join in on this, now we got to do a whole new interlocal again, do we not?
The way the revised agreement is crafted is we're going to build up to a 521-bed jail based on all of the city's participation. But it says here, the bed numbers are determined based on the projected use of the county and the use by the cities of Bellingham, Blaine, Everson, Luna. If any city listed and intended as party to this agreement fails to approve and execute this jail use agreement by August 14, 2015, the county will reduce the size and scope of the project, including in a reduction of jail beds and the amount of bonds sold. This will be commensurate with the non-participating city's actual and expected share of the annual bond payments.
This is
the last time through it. And right now, Whatcom County has agreed to the jail facility use agreement, and four of the cities have. So it will not have to come back to you again.
Just wanted to make sure.
All right.
In the interest of time.
There you go. No, thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, thank you for being here. The economy is a scale. I imagine if there's a per bed cost of construction, it goes up with a smaller jail. Would that be correct? It's cheaper. It would be cheaper per bed to build a 521 than a 383, right?
It's one of the reasons that we're going to need to decrease the size of the booking facility, medical facility, kitchen, and so on and so forth. We're going to have to scale the whole thing back, which is unfortunate because it's going to make future additions more expensive. But if that's what we need to do, our need is so critical at this particular time that
so
we don't have an ability to
a smaller
to talk
jail
about it
is
a
not
years.
Just a smaller jail. It's a lesser jail in some areas.
We're going to build it with quality materials so we don't run into the same problem that we have with our existing facility as we went the inexpensive route and we're paying for it right now. We're going to do a good quality job of it. All of the areas that are going to need to be expanded are designed into the footprint of the site so that they can fold outward and aren't crashing into each other. So I think from a design perspective, it's going to be as efficient as possible, but it is still going to require an expansion of the core infrastructure, which I was hoping that we were going to be able to handle and we had designed into the facility if Bellingham would have chose to be a participant. So,
and I know you don't speak for the Bellingham Council, but I simply have not followed that aspect of it particularly close, but what is the summary of their objection to this? What is it? Is it the sharing of the sales tax, or
you know, I think
can you help me out? What is this is not going to help them if they don't sign on. You made the case here.
The council members have varying opinions of why or why they shouldn't join into this, and I think it'd be best for me just to say at this particular time as a. As a group, they have said no to it at this point.
And so we are asking the citizens throughout the county to raise sales tax 0.2%.
Correct.
For this. So if I'm a Bellingham citizen, apart from felonies and those criminals, I'm possibly voting for a tax that I might perceive I'm not going to benefit in any way from it. Other than Bellingham would then get the full legal allowable amount of that sales tax. We've agreed to a partial, and I forget the exact percentage.
You get 100% of it into your coffers, and then you are assigning a portion of it to the county to pay for a portion of the bond payment, correct? Whereas Bellingham will get 100% of the 60-40
right.
split.
Right.
Now, the citizens of Bellingham, I think they're going to have to realize is that if the sales tax doesn't pass, they're going to be in the jail business and they're going to have to cut services somewhere else to be able to provide for their legally responsible inmates. So, I mean, there's going to be costs associated with this.
So as we calculate a 383-bed jail, it's kind of based on the revenues that we can expect from the six cities. The six
Correct.
Smaller cities have agreed to give something back.
Under the exact same formula that was originally intended with all of the seven cities involved.
And the portion that Bellingham is going to not share, that's what they're choosing to do by
right.
their choices, that gets us to the 521.
Yeah, if Bellingham, we're asking of Bellingham about $1.3 million a year for the bond payments. Over the life of the next 32 years, they'll average about an additional $1.75 million over and above that on average with a 2.5% increase. And really, I guess the short of it is they don't feel that that's a fair distribution of funds.
Thank you. I'm good.
We have Councilperson Olson, then Councilperson Watson, and then finally Councilperson Hansen.
The thing that Brent brought up a question. If we have this agreement, there's no end date on it, right? Do we have a new jail? So,
well, the agreement goes for on the
the obligation of the city of Ferndale to Whatcom County for the bond payment will go for 30 years. At the end of 30 years, one half of the sales tax will expire, so it'll go from 2/10 to 1/10. At the end of 30 years, at the end of the bond payment, any of the parties to the agreement with, I'd have to look, I think it's 6 months or 12 months notification, can give notice that they would like to back out of the agreement. So it is a 30-year...
That's fine. I wasn't looking for to get out of it. I just think, like you've been saying here, if somebody realizes they made a terrible mistake in 5 years, unless everybody agrees, which I hardly doubt, you're not getting back into the game for 30 years. That could very well happen. I'm not saying it will, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And we said felony prisoners have to be taken. So if our felons go in, they're charged our rate. If their felons go in, are they charged their non-participating rate?
Whatcom County is responsible for 100% of the costs of all of the felons within the unincorporated areas and in the city. So those, all of the charges related to felons go into our portion of the cost. We pay for that. By state law, we're responsible for that. We don't have any.
Okay, so Ferndale doesn't pay for felony prisoners.
No.
Okay.
No.
I want to thank you for not letting this jail discussion get hijacked into an alternative corrections and mental health and whatever it. Have people sit down with offenders.
You know, I'll take a compliment anytime I can on this particular subject.
As the father of a murdered child, the last thing I want to do is sit down with the guy who did it. Because then I won't have Bill for a friend. He'll be my caretaker.
I didn't realize your situation, sir. That's very impactful.
So we're
going to continue to do everything we can.
Stay on course.
To bring this to a conclusion. I really, you know, I firmly believe that alternatives to corrections and ability to help those in our community that need some help on the low-level crimes, that what we can do for them, we need to do as a society.
Sure, but that's another discussion.
I've been convinced that we need to do that in parallel with building a new correctional facility, and we've been pretty laser, as I've been quoted in the paper, laser-focused on getting this done. So thank you for the kind words, and we're going to continue to move forward.
Well said. Councilperson Watson?
Just a quick question. Did I hear you correctly that your agreement with Bellingham runs out this December 31st? So will the rules change for them this December 31st, whether we do the new jail or not?
The rules, the agreement with all of the cities run out this December 31st. The interlocal that we have was extended for 1 year trying to get all of this together and get this on the ballot. But the interlocal expires at the beginning of next year. And, you know, Whatcom County, if this doesn't pass in November, we're going to have to sit. We're going to be sitting down and talking with all of the cities. Because we are, if we don't have any path forward to building a new jail, and we have to live within our existing facility, as the sheriff mentioned, is we're going to substantially reduce the population, and that's going to impact all of the cities and Whatcom County with our ability to take care of the misdemeanors in the community.
Councilperson Hansen.
Jack, 5 years from now, the economy tanks like it did 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not enough money to meet the bond payment. How do we, who have signed on to the agreement, where do we have to make that up?
I think what we would need to do is that as, you know, Whatcom County Council and me as the executive and as the sheriff, we're elected to represent everybody at that particular time. And if we have that big of a catastrophic event in revenue collection in our county, that's going to be that particular scenario would be one that I don't know what to say, but what you're saying, right? What you're saying, Counselor, is that if sales tax revenue declined by 45%, I find that to be highly unlikely that that
does it have happen. To be that much? And we're forced to
yeah.
the problem.
I mean, you know, Bellingham is going to collect $2.1 million, and they're going to have to pay us $1.3 million. So what is that as a percentage that sales tax revenue would have to go down before they would not have enough to be able to make their bond payment? It's substantial.
Well, that would be the same for us.
It'd be the exact same formula for you in terms of whatever your dollars are. I just don't have that.
So what happens? So that brings up another question. What happens with the money in between?
Well, that's additional revenue that all of the cities are going to have out of the sales tax revenue that's collected. You're going to be able to keep a portion of the sales tax revenue to use as you wish within the RCW related to criminal justice.
Well, we'd have to look. I mean, at that, I mean, our as our population grows, you know, our jail percentage fee is going to rise. So it probably wouldn't be a windfall for us. We would find ways to spend that money.
Yeah, our jail credits are gone.
Yeah. I have Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Mutzer.
Basically, Councilmember Hansen asked my question. I would have worded it differently. That's okay. He covered it.
Okay. Councilperson Mutzer.
I hope I'm not premature, but I'd like the motion to table. I'd like to move that we adopt Agenda Bill 1508-002, which is the adoption of the amended interlocal agreement.
All second.
Any further discussion? Councilperson Olson.
I was hesitant about this because I had the same concerns Paul did as we keep discussing it. I'm tired of Bellingham holding us hostage, but Mr. Lowe's and the sheriff have both alleviated my support.
Okay. Any other further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Something in the discussion that we want to mention, and I mentioned it to the Bellingham mayor, but it always seems to get floated by, is, you know, they're always in the discussion, well, it's our sales tax revenue, and we don't want to deal with this. And Ferndale is at the forefront. We know that statistics show 83% of our sales tax dollars, of our citizens buying taxable goods, is spent in Bellingham, but they never want to acknowledge that. The rest of the counties have a less percentage, but Linden's down to a 60-40, so 40% of Linden's goes to Bellingham. But that's never part of the discussion. The press never wants to go on that, where, you know, somebody from Bellingham, well, our sales tax. Well, really? Is it all your sales tax, Bellingham? 83% of it is ours. We'd like to have it back if you'd like to do that. But all right, Council, I'd like to thank our guests. Would you like to say anything?
Well, I also would like to thank each and every one of you for the good questions. Thank you for being involved. Thank you for being supportive. And, of course, if you have any questions moving forward, please obviously work with your administration, but please give my office a call. We'll do everything we can, and I'm sure the same goes for the sheriff. We're excited that we're making progress. I know the sheriff and I personally are. I am. And I'm looking forward to working with the voters over the next few months to see whether we can gather the support needed to be able to move this forward. We've had this problem for 18 years, and one of the things that I would like to do in my position is make sure that take on some of these tough issues and see whether we can come to some resolution with it. But it takes partners, and the mayor, the administration, and now the council of Ferndale has been supportive, and I'm very appreciative of that. Have a great evening.
Thank you for coming. We'll take like just a little 1 minute recess here. Allow our guests; they probably don't want to hang around for the rest of our meeting. So, you guys got a minute for your exit. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you for coming. John, I don't think they wanted to take you with them. Hey, Bill, take John with you.
We'll pay extra.
Yeah. costs money. Okay, now we're back in session. Councilperson Goodrich?
Just a future type question. I don't know how the rest of the council feels about this, but when we get closer to the time of the election and things, would it be worthwhile to put forth a resolution on behalf of the council in support of the measure or not?
I think it certainly would be helpful.
Something just to put down your for future reference notes or something to think about. Once we get past this election tomorrow.
Okay, so moving on. So we're in item D. This is a public meeting about the Deer Park preliminary plat. And our planning director is out for this evening, so his able-bodied assistant will take over this subject.
That's me. Thank you. Okay, so this is a preliminary plat that we received for it's called Deer Park plat, and it's located on the northeast corner of the Church Road and Main Street intersection. And just a little background on this property. I don't know if you guys remember this, but Summer's Landing was proposed back in 2006, and it was approved for 75 lots, postage stamp lots, a few deep, and that approval is still vested until 2017. And the new owners, by Watkins, who's here today, and Kathy Harrison, when they purchased the property, they have proposed a new layout with 53 lots and two phases. The first phase is 40 lots, and the second phase is 13 lots. And they're planning to get preliminary plat approval and sell it to a third party to develop it. So we've gone through the process. I took this to the hearing examiner on July 16th, and the hearing examiner recommended approval. We received one public comment and addressed that at the hearing. And just a couple things I'd like to point out with this plat. The applicant is dedicating Track B. I don't know if you guys have the map with you or not. It's kind of a giant packet. So Track B open space is going to be dedicated to the city for future work. 120? Oh, the page. Kind of a big packet. Sorry. Yeah. So that Track B will be dedicated for park space, and we are going to give them park impact fee credits toward the usable space. So there's 20,000 square feet of non-wetland area, so we will be giving them credit for those park impact fees and for the space that's usable, but the whole track will be dedicated to the city. And we don't have plans right now to develop that. It'll just be for a later date. Our master parks plan calls out for a 3-acre neighborhood park in that area. They're also dedicating a 20-foot wide access easement from the park that goes to the east, so maybe a future trail connection could be used there. And then the open space track A, which is on the corner of Church and Main, they will be proposing some low-level landscaping that will be maintained by the HOA, so they can maintain site distance and then kind of keep that looking nice right there for people when they're coming through. And let's see here, what else? So the second access that's proposed on the south end, it's a cul-de-sac, and then there's a 40-foot wide access easement. This is just for emergency services. Our fire district had a concern with getting in and out during, you know, adverse weather conditions. So this will be blocked off with bollards, but the residents can still use the sidewalk and kind of walk through that area. So that'll be for the emergency services only if they need to get in there. They have a storm drainage fee that they're subject to pay per ordinance 1822, and that's to connect to the Southwest Regional Fund. I believe the applicant will be bringing up that fee later tonight with you guys. And everything else is pretty straightforward. They're required to mitigate their wetlands and get approvals from the city and state agencies before they break ground. And everything else is pretty straightforward with this. Questions if you guys have.
Where was that access thing that you talked
it's
about?
It's on the south end of the property, right by the bus stop. So it's blocked off.
Oh, right there.
Yeah.
So, Council, this is a public, it's a public meeting. The Planning and Land Use Committee members forward this item to the Council with no recommendation. Staff recommendation is approval of AB 1508003.
So moved.
And was there a second? Okay. So moved by Councilperson Ingram, seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Comments by Councilperson Hansen?
I would just It has to do with the name. When I looked at this, I thought, what are they doing over there at Deer Creek? It's so close to the Deer Creek Park name. A lot of confusion out there. I know why you're calling it Deer Park. Hopefully you're going to block the damn thing from an entire eating all of my apples and prunes and everything else. That they get
you don't like the hoofed rats?
It's so close, huh?
You don't like the hoofed rats?
Yeah, well, but
they're great on spit.
And I know this is not a technical pitch, but somewhere along the line, there should be a consideration for making the name unique enough that there's not going to be. I could see somebody coming saying, "I've got a fire at my house. Where are you? Deer Creek, Deer Park." They go to Deer Creek.
We've already had them change it once before, so they might be.
That could be
changed.
Pick a name.
Okay. Councilperson Goodrich?
Just a procedural question type thing. Now, if we approve this plat tonight, is there any grandfathering or anything from the previous approved plat that was in effect? That gets wiped off as if it never existed?
It's still vested separately.
So they end up actually with two plats of the same parcel?
Yes.
So they could sell either one?
I
think
so. Like,
yeah, there's vested.
It seems like one should supersede the other or something.
That's like state.
Well, I guess it's the landlord deciding I'm going to sell this many lots or this many lots. Welcome to America.
Okay. All right.
I mean, it's interesting, but what it's saying that they're both
valid.
If you approve this, they're both valid.
Okay.
And whoever the person is, it can build this many houses, this many houses.
Third party come along and say, it's not enough lots for me to pencil this. I'll give you these folks could say, well, I'm going to buy it, but I'm going to go back to the previous plot.
Sure.
And Once you've unloaded it to the third party, the third party would then have the choice, I would think.
Sure. Free market economy.
I was going to say, flat city plus 5 years?
5 years now, but previously, before 2007, there's 10 years. Okay. So it was approved before.
But the first plat, when does it expire?
2017.
Okay, so you have to make a decision by 17.
Yeah, by 17.
Yeah. Okay. Any further discussion?
Okay. We have a motion and a second before you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I just had a question I wanted to ask after approval because it was a closed hearing. Closed record hearing, excuse me. I was just curious why the smaller number of lots. The city has sort of, I'm just curious. I'm not judging that, but it was just a curiosity.
Would you like to bring the consultant up or would the applicant like to speak? You're the spokesperson? Come to the microphone and identify yourself, please.
Good evening. My name is Ramon Llanos. I'm the engineer of record for the project. Market conditions have changed. At the time, postage lots were financeable. Now it's a lot harder to get financing. Single family detached lots are easier to get financing. So it's the market condition.
So the 71 units before weren't all single family before?
They were postage, like airspace condos, they call it. So you have common areas. And then
zero lot lines, et cetera?
No, they're not zero lot lines. What it is you have common areas. Yeah. Everybody owns the road and the lots between
the houses. Typical lot might have been 3,000 feet for a lot or something.
Yeah, something like
that. Okay, thank you.
So
I was curious.
You cannot finance that anymore. So.
Okay. Any other questions while we have the applicant expert up here? No? Okay, great. Moving on. Thank you. Okay, next up is a public hearing on wireless facilities update. And who is handling that? Welcome again.
So this one is pretty straightforward. It's a zoning text amendment for our wireless facilities chapter. And in April of this year, federal regulations were adopted at the federal level to ensure that cities and local jurisdictions were reviewing wireless facility applications consistently and in a timely manner. So we've gone through and redlined this chapter to include those changes. The changes really apply to just the upgrades, maintenance, and co-locating on the wireless towers, not the initial siting. So basically, we used to require a conditional use permit in the residential zones if you were going to add more equipment to it, and now there's a certain threshold of equipment you can add before it trips into the conditional use review. So not a lot of room for flexibility with this one, just because we're adding in the new federal regulations.
So this is a public hearing. Any technical questions of staff? Councilperson Olson?
They still have to show you something, even if they're saying it's not going to trip it?
Yeah, we need to determine if it's exempt or not.
Nope. You get to do it. Okay, great. Thank you.
Any other technical questions of staff? Seeing none. Okay, this is a public hearing. This is the first of two public hearings. So I'll read the rules of procedure of public hearing. It'll apply for both of them, so I don't have to read it twice. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in their decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of the hearing will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you will be given an opportunity to address the council once you've got through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire city group. Is anyone signed up on the sheets? No? Would anyone like to come forward and speak on this? Okay, so 7:01:48 and 7:01:48. I'm opening and closing the public hearing. So 7:01:48 is the time of the hour. Councilperson Mutzer, you had your arm up?
Yeah, I would like to move the adoption of the wireless facilities update to our vote.
Second.
Seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Any further discussion by council? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, moving on to the public hearing on the Ferndale Municipal Code 18.12, Hearing Examiner Authority.
Wonder you already took
that's why off. That's why we brought you up. Good job. You're doing well so far.
Thanks. So this one is pretty straightforward too. We adopted new rules for procedural requirements for the hearing examiner. We sat down with our city attorney and went through just kind of procedural things and updated it. And these code changes are just to ensure consistency with Chapter 14. So this is Chapter 18, and we revised a few things just to make sure the two don't contradict each other and that they stay consistent. So not a huge policy change or anything, just mainly housekeeping.
Any technical questions of staff? Seeing none, would anyone in the audience like to come forward to speak on this public hearing subject? Seeing none, I'm going to open and close at 7:03:16. 7:03:16. Okay, motion before you.
I'll move to approve.
Is it? No, it doesn't take a motion? Really?
It doesn't take a motion? No, sorry. I thought you said there was a motion before. I
didn't
say no, there's a motion.
No. Okay. Proceed. Disregard. Ignore the clerk.
I would like to move the approved agenda bill 08.
Second.
Okay. And moved and seconded by Councilor Goodrich. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Good job. We've got through that agenda. Okay. We're down to mayor reports. We have two events this week that would be interesting for you to attend. The first one is a nonprofit forum put on by the Chamber of Commerce. That's at 1 to 2 on Wednesday at the Pioneer Pavilion, where they'll kind of discuss where nonprofits should go, hear what nonprofits want to say, any ideas. That's a pretty short hour, but that's at 1 to 2 at the Pavilion. The one that would be nice.
Hasn't that also been billed as a discussion of the proposed rates for the Pavilion?
Yes, it has.
Okay.
So that's why thank you for clarifying it, because I was looking to go, well, if you start talking about that, there's no way that's going to get solved in an hour.
I had 1 to 3 on my schedule.
Did you? Okay.
I think they made it a little bit longer so they can have them.
So because the discussion is going to, okay, good. So 1 to 3 at the Pavilion. Okay, on the one that it would be nice to see all of you there is 4 o'clock on Thursday at the Pavilion. It will be the ribbon cutting to open up our community center. So I'd love to see you all there. Okay, so we're on to council reports. Any council reports? Councilperson Watson.
Yes, we heard on Friday that we're on the list to get a grant of $1,700 from the Washington Arts Commission for Art in the Park.
$1,700?
$1,700. Wow. Last year they gave us
$1,000 this year. Way to go. When do you when can you reapply for the Performing Arts Grant, which I thought was fantastic?
Probably next spring, but actually, Susan, why don't you tell them how much money we actually made?
$2,500.
Wow, outstanding. Yeah,
that's above and beyond. All the expenses for the program were covered by the grant. So the $2,500 was ticket sales and donations that were made on their little concessions.
So that's the greatest thing about a grant. Is a grant shows you enough seed money where you can be maybe self-sustaining.
Right.
And well, we think we can be self-sustaining with the $2,500.
Especially if we get a popcorn machine.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get the foundation up again necessarily for the theater because I was thinking we would ask them if they want to take part in Star Park.
Well, the question would be is, I mean, were you charged rent by the school?
A minimal
fee. Well, we would have to pay custodial fees. But also the people that directed it, the were our paid staff, our two paid staff, have already expressed interest in doing it again next year.
Well, maybe and next year you'll have to look at a different location and might have better prices.
No, they're interested in...
But lousy, lousy acoustics.
Well, they'll have to speak loud.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's the echo chamber effect in that big, giant, empty room. It's just atrocious.
We'll decide when the spring comes and also if we want to ask the foundation for Star Park money.
Maybe a play that has yodeling because then you get the echo effect.
And then when the aliens come, the yodeling...
Never mind.
Councilperson Mutchler.
Oh, I just wanted to up a good sandwich. I appreciate Jack Locker's father-daughter dance. It's the second one he did. Having 4 daughters, it was really terrific. You know,
the word is the tennis doubled.
It was packed, and everyone had a great time. You see dads and their daughters and the whole thing. I had a son-in-law with his daughter, my granddaughter, so it was a different angle there. I also think we have the Ferndale Flicks this Friday.
Yes.
Saturday.
Is it Saturday?
No, Friday.
Friday. And it's the movie Big, which the first 5 minutes is
we hope there's enough mosquito spray left over.
Up. Excuse me, I wrote down Big, but up, I meant up. And then the last thing I've been thinking, I really appreciate Planning Commissioner and future council member Rebecca Czar stepping to the plate and doing that pro statement. I think that's terrific. You know, perfect person for that. So thank you very much.
He's doing that so you can't back out now.
Yeah.
Okay, any other council reports or comments? No? Okay. Moving on to department reports. So would you like to speak on behalf of the planning department? That's good. That's exactly how you should do it. And go back and tell your supervisor that's how you do that comment. No comment. City Administrator?
All set.
Okay. Public Works?
All set.
Okay. Clerk?
All set.
Police Department? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor, say it by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.